Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Bite Electric smart home products make everyday living simply smarter. Add color to your home's exterior with LED outdoor string lights. They're perfect for holidays or get-togethers, and they can be scheduled to automatically turn on or off. View our entire selection of Fight Electric smart home products today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for other great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. A t-shirt and jeans. Mac and cheese. Some things in life are an obvious match. Like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors. The difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Learn why at Schwabvious.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Carver and Lisi with you.
Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us here on a Tuesday night on the grid. 844-843-6879 is the number. Got a lot going on. Bunch of NBA games. We've got a lot of college basketball tonight. A lot of hockey. And, of course, plenty of football talk as we get ready for wild card weekend in the NFL. And Joe still celebrating. Donovan Edwards running all over the Washington Huskies in the first half last night. That's for sure. Mike Carver and the Encyclopedia of College Football. The one, the only. Go! For the two, Joe Lisi. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Carver. Great night. Great night, baby. Donovan Edwards. Donovan. Got it done. How about that? Michigan. National champions. I said it. Donovan. Not one, but two tutties, Carver. Two tutties.
Yeah, you slipped the two tutties. That was like a last night, last minute thing that you gave to the College Football Today audience. You would not have been talking up the two tutties. You were definitely in on the yardage for the past week. We knew you were going to alt it. I'm going alt at 40, 50, 60, 70, whatever they want to give me. But a massive night for you, Joe. I mean, you always try to, like, oh, you got like 10 loaves under your arms. Joe had to buy a Brinks truck last night. That outside the apartment when he was on his way home. That's for sure. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates, Carver and Lisi, with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159, here with you on a Tuesday night on the grid. Mike Carver, and of course, the Encyclopedia of College Football. The long, cold off season begins for Joe Lisi last night, as now we don't have another college football game until August, Joe. I know that always upsets you.
Carver, this is bad. I'm not going to lie to you. This is where I hit the gym like a madman. I get back into it, you know? I don't know what else to say. We got the NFL, you know, Super Bowl, and then the NFL draft to keep me over. But, you know, hey, hero, I guess we're going to have to get with the hoops, the bounds, and a little March Madness. I don't know. I'm a little.
We'll get you there. One way or the other, we'll get you there.
You go out on top like I did last year with Brock Bowers in Georgia. I said it. The Encyclopedia is back.
You're back, Joe. There's no doubt. Monster night for you. Congratulations. I still won the bowl pick'em. So.
That's what you're hanging your hat on, all right?
I still want to bowl pick him. It's okay.
It's all right.
It's okay. Not a big deal. Closed out the NFL regular season as well.
You need a silver lining, don't you? You need a
silver lining. Well, it's a lie. I've been getting knocked around the last few days. I mean, knocked around.
Got to stop. You got to start going just with principal plays. Principal plays.
Yeah, I'll admit, I get into the. And listen, I think it happens to all of us, Joe. You get into a little bit of a rut.
You got back. You were walking around like you were.
I'm in a rut the last 7 to 10 days. I'm in a rut. Definitely a rut. And it's not even so much just picking sides. It's just, you get involved in some of this stuff and you hit a lot of props, you hit a lot of, these SGPs, you hit some things, and then, it can go cold for a while. Those are hard to hit, and it can go cold, and if you're just playing that, it can hurt you for a little bit. So we've taken a step back, Joe, and we're going to just focus in and get ourselves ready for Wild Card Weekend. That's where I'm at right now.
Okay.
Focus in,
right,
zero in, principal plays, bell cows, everything else. A lot of bell cows this weekend, man. A lot of bell cows.
Bell cows. You go back to the bell cows.
Go back to the bell cows this weekend and try to get something done with them. We do have some live games, Joe. NBA, there's, I think, 5 games tonight, including the Pistons are up 8 on the Kings in Detroit right now, believe it or not, late in the first half. The Timberwolves are up like 30 on the Magic. 62-35. What a gutless performance from Orlando.
Gutless.
You got the Knicks, who are up on the Blazers. That one's already getting out of hand. 31-17 in the first quarter. So not a good scene there. Dallas and Memphis start in about a half hour, and the Raptors and the Lakers are late night on the coast. In the college hoops, Houston, Joe, down 10 at the half to Iowa State. On the road.
Really? That's
an
upset, isn't it?
Yeah, sure is. Now, the number was a little short, but Houston was clearly the favorite. But Houston getting 5 minutes. Let me tell you something for Houston, Joe, and they're a good team. We know that the last few years. But they ain't playing in that dopey American Conference anymore.
Yeah, no, when it comes, right. They're not
when it comes up
25-4 playing.
Right. I mean, they played, obviously. They've been a good team the last few years for Samson, but their conference regular season was, a bit of an exhibition. Now, there's a couple good teams in there, obviously. Memphis, a good team. They've had Cincinnati with them in there, who's a decent team. But, now you're getting a spot where, it's tough to go into Ames, and play. You got Texas and Baylor and Oklahoma State and all. You're going to be playing all these teams now. And that ain't the same as, the trips to UCF. Who the heck, they still make that trip now, of course. UCF's in the Big 12, too. But you know what I mean, Joe. USF and East Carolina and all. You don't get any more of those when you're hanging around the Big 12.
No, now it's the bell cows. It's Kansas, Oklahoma State.
Bell cows.
Mizzou. Oh, no, Mizzou's still in the...
No, they're in the SEC. Missouri's in the SEC,
They were in the Big 12.
Missouri down 5 at the half to Kentucky right now. System play with...
Did you see Kentucky play the other... Did you watch them play Florida on Saturday?
I did, yes.
What did you think about that game?
I thought it was a gutty performance by Kentucky.
They just don't have shooters anymore.
I know. Well, do you remember? That was a system play, too. Florida was favored in that game.
3.5. They were 3.5-point favorites.
System play. And just like Cincinnati tonight, who's up 2 against Texas early in the second half. The Bearcats. So we have a couple of those games rolling right now, Joe. With the college, West Virginia up 2 on Kansas State at the half, and several others. And the hockey, big slate, 3-2 Seattle leads Buffalo. The Leafs are up 4-0 on the Sharks. Canucks do lead the Islanders 1-0 near the end of the first period at the horse track. And a lot of late night games, or not even late night, but just starting soon. Columbus and Winnipeg is going to start, as I got that game on right now, Joe, believe it or not. And Florida, St. Louis, Anaheim, Nashville, Edmonton, Chicago, Ottawa, Calgary, Boston, and Arizona, all to face off within the next hour or so on the ice. We got Rick Haro tonight as well. We got a lot of NFL to do. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Yeah. Here on a Tuesday. Let's go. As Joe, coming off of big night for him with Donovan Edwards. You know, Joe, you obviously had it going on all night. You ate real fat last night, no doubt.
Can I just say something?
Sure.
That game, like, I've never been so heavily, you know, I play props, right? But I have never felt so good about a prop bet than I did with this. Like, I don't know. I knew he was going to run for two touchdowns. And I saw, like, when I saw that play out, that's how I played it out in my head. Now, I don't know if that's just, you know, maybe I was overtired. I don't know, Carver. But I'm telling you, I seen that play out multiple times in my brain, him busting runs like that. And the more that I saw people banging on Blake Corum, and he got his, I knew I was right. It's just crazy.
Well, everybody was going to run to Corum, you know that, because he's, you know, obviously in the big games, he's had all the big moments, and he's been – but Edwards was very forgotten about, Joe. What was last night? His first touchdown since the Penn State game, right? They showed that on the screen 1,000 times. For everybody here who maybe didn't hear us on Coast to Coast today and didn't get us to talk about it, let's take 5 minutes on the game, and then we'll get to Haro, and we've got a lot of NFL to do later. As I said to you earlier, Joe, it seemed like Michigan was going to completely bulldoze them early in that game, obviously. I mean, you had the two Edwards runs. You had the Corum run, which led to the field goal. 17 points right out of the gate. And it almost felt, Joe, like they could have kept doing that. And Harbaugh wanted to get J.J. McCarthy in on the act. Like, he wanted to pump him up. And I think that that's what allowed the Washington defense to settle in, because pass defense is their bread and butter. They're not good against the run. You saw that, but they've got some good corners and good defenders in the back end. And their defense gave Michigan's play calling gave Penix a chance to, you know, push Washington into that game, into a spot where they could maybe win it. And Penix just wasn't good enough, Joe. Whether it was hurt or whatever you want to call it, he wasn't sharp. He was overthrowing guys. The Adunze one on fourth down is the one that sticks out the most. And then when he does hit a big play in the second half, it got called back for the hold, right, Joe? That one first down that he picked up down the sideline, and it went back for holding. So it just didn't go right for them all night.
No, I mean, I think the biggest thing, and we talked about it on Coast to Coast, we talked about it a week ago when we brought up the football game, was how good the Michigan secondary was entering that ball game. I'll just throw it out. They were only giving up 153 passing yards per game. They were holding opposing quarterbacks to only a 55% completion percentage, had only given up 7 touchdowns, and had forced up until that point last night 16 interceptions. So the argument was, yes, as good as they were, they never faced an offense like Penix, right? And that was like the chess match that played out last night, where Penix missed Adunze on that, what was it, a fourth and 7?
Yeah, it was a fourth and 7. Fourth and 7.
Guy, wide open.
It was a touchdown. It was a touchdown.
And at that point, it was 17-3. That changes the whole momentum of the ball game, because the longer that game elapsed and the longer that Washington had to work just to get back into that ball game, they expended a lot of energy, and Penix was taking hits, right? The chunk plays came from Michigan. They didn't come from Washington, and that's why the Wolverines were able to win that ball game. They were patient. They forced Penix to work down the field, something that we only saw a couple times. Wash State and Oregon State, they won both of those games, but they were the better team in both of those games. They weren't last night.
Yeah, and I think, Joe, and a lot of this, you know, sometimes this matters, sometimes it doesn't. You know, Michigan made the playoffs the last 2 years, and they had some subpar performances. Let's be fair, and it's a lot of the guys that have that are on this team. You know, it's J.J. McCarthy. It's guys on D. It's Edwards. It's Corum. I know Corum was hurt last year. But, you know, it's guys that have been a part of this thing for the past few years. And when you keep going back, Joe, it's like eventually you're going to break through, right? You know, you keep getting there. Your time's going to come. And their time came. And, you know, it sucks for Washington. Had a tremendous year. But, you know, the key to their success was Penix, and he just wasn't good enough in that game. Oh. And they were going to win. And it's amazing that it was a one-score game early in the fourth quarter. It's amazing that it was, because I think they could have got absolutely steamrolled in that game. And the score indicates that they did. But the game really in the second and third quarters was a lot closer than that score indicates.
Yeah, and I said it to you earlier today.
I said it.
Well, I said Donovan Edwards. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, if I was as, you know, I go crazy sometimes, right? If I was crazy last night, I would have taken him up to like 110, and I would have swept it all the way. I didn't have 100 because I was like, every time I do that, I don't get the 80 and the 90, so I only stopped at 80. But
did they have him at 100? Did they have him for 100?
They had him all the way up to 100 and a quarter.
Man, what was the 100 and quarter? What did he end with?
Here's what I got. I got 80 at six to one.
Yeah, but what did he finish with? What was his total?
105, 106. Okay. His in-game number was 116. And, you know, I was going to jump in on the under there because he was starting to, like, tap out. But I also had him on a profit boost in the receiving game, and they didn't utilize him.
Right. You should have used the profit boost on the other thing.
No, I did. I did
use it. You said you used it on the receiving game.
No. I said no. Maybe did I? I got to check now.
You had so many tickets last night. You don't even remember.
No, I had him also. I put Donovan Edwards with the AFC and NFC champion too. That's how confident I was. I wanted a little NFL action.
With the Bills.
I never felt so good about that. I was saying that too. Too bad you weren't on the broadcast with me. I kept saying, I said it. T-shirts available.
T-shirts available. Joe said it.
No, not Joe nice. Said it. That's our saying.
I said it.
Here, I'll tell you
did
if
a,
I had
you did a nice job, Joe. You
so
did a nice
four,
job,
here's
Mark.
What I hit last night. I hit the 40 at plus 390, the 80 at plus 520. I hit, what else did I hit here? Hang on. I got so many. I got to go through the 70 at 4-1. I had the profit boost, 60 juice from 3 to plus 390, 50 yards at plus 220, another 40 at plus 148, the two tutties at 10-1.
Jeez, and cleaned up. Cleaned up. Big night for you, Joe.
Don't be hating.
Eating fat. Well done.
Yeah, the show did well. I represent the show.
Kate, do you? You represent the show?
I don't. I mean, when I'm on there and you're not with me, I represent the show. And when
Good job,
you're on
Joe.
Other platforms, you got my back.
You killed
the
it,
golf.
Joe. Golf, baby. Sony Open this weekend. All right, we got our next. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM. Channel 159 here with you on a Tuesday night on the grid. Great to have you with us here. All right, Joe, we are going to locate Haro.
That's incredible. I think Matias, he was in the wilderness. I saw him.
Matias will locate Haro, and we will we'll discuss with him.
I don't know. Are you sure he's not like in a cave? He was on an expedition, it looked like, or something.
Who knows when that's from, Joe? He's got so much stock footage of things that he does.
You think it's B-roll? Is it B-roll?
It could be B-roll. We'll find out. The Kraken are up 4-2 now in Buffalo on the Sabres. Not good for Slammin' Sammy Yarnell, who told us to hammer the Sabres on Coast to Coast today.
Yeah,
that's not going very well for them as they're down 2 goals at home. We do have our sports business and legal insider, Rick Hara, with us as we do every week on Carver and Lisi. It's always great to talk to him, especially after he got to spend Sunday night at Hard Rock down in Miami watching the Buffalo Bills winning the AFC East. So that had to be a great time as well. But Josh Allen rolling up almost 500 yards of total offense, albeit probably shouldn't have been as close as it was. But what a performance. Hi, Rick. How are you?
Hi there. Well, way to take away all the excitement about our conversation. But I will say this, that I'm over that. On to Kansas City.
Yeah.
Think about it. And I'll throw some names out there. I was sitting next to Zach Thomas, who is a true gentleman, great Hall of Famer, bleeds Dolphin blue like all the people up in the area that I'm in are. And I think we both agree after the punt return, and we also agreed after that the game was over, even though it was tied, because we knew where Josh Allen was going to go. I'd much rather take my chances at 13 below with Kansas City Chiefs receivers that can't catch the ball, whose running attack is okay, but if you bottle up Pacheco, you have a chance, and who knows what happens in the cold weather, then lose the prospect of having to win two in a row against Buffalo. You know, can't win one in a row, let alone two in a row. And, you guys, and I know it is you guys, we're a streak series. In the 70s, when I was, actively involved in going to all the games in Buffalo and in Miami, the Bills lost like 9 million in a row during those years to the Dolphins. Then the worm turned in the Kelly years. Then it turned back, and now it's still turned. So I don't want to see you guys again. I think Pittsburgh will, run the ball like crazy. We'll upset the hell out of you. And I do think that the Dolphins play the Pittsburgh Steelers at home in the AFC Championship. What do you think of that?
Rick, wow. You're crazy.
No?
Let me just say this.
Okay.
I love you. I really do. I've been a Dolphin fan since the days of Don Strzok and David Woodley, okay? Now,
right.
I cannot
right.
stand Mike McDaniel. I can't stand his guts, okay? Because he wants to talk this big talk, and when he's mic'd up, hey, Dan Marino, we're coming after you. Why don't you just worry about coaching defense, okay? Because they're gutless. Every time this team steps up, Rick, they never answer the bell. They never answer the bell with the killer bees. They never answer the bell when Josh Allen comes and wipes their team clean. I'm just so tired of him talking. I mean, they're going to get shellacked in Kansas City. Shellacked, and I'm a Dolphin fan.
Yeah.
I just bet the Chiefs.
Let's do it this way. All right, so how many did you have to give?
I'll give you 9.
Wow. 9? Really?
I love this game. Yeah, 9.
Wow. 9. All right, we're on. Okay, we're on. That's a good deal. For Alan and I, it was the same kind of conversation, the whole gutless conversation. And, he's a big Dolphin fan. He's been working down in Miami for a long time. But look, you don't have to believe me, because I'm not sure I believe myself. But what else do I hang on to? Because I definitely would have thought, as banged up as the Dolphins are, had they won that game, they wouldn't have won on I think on Saturday at 3:30 in Miami or Sunday. They wouldn't have won that
Sunday
game.
At 1 o'clock. Yeah, you know, Sunday at 1.
Yeah, right. So listen, the end of the day is I don't think Pittsburgh has a chance against Buffalo. Buffalo is really hot at the right time. And the Dolphins are so banged up. They just signed Justin Houston, as you know. I don't know if that's going to matter. We're going into the pile of linebackers. It's just unfortunate that a team has to be injured. I've caught up on my Hard Knocks, although the Buffalo loss one is premiering in about a half hour, so maybe I'll have another couple of drinks and watch that. But the Baltimore game was awful, and we all, as Dolphin fans, it's the injury bug, but I'm not sure that they would have beaten Baltimore completely healthy. And you guys, Carver, have our number. You have our number.
They do. Allen's been great. I believe that's now 11 of his last 13. He's 11-2 against the Dolphins in his last 13 games. And, yeah, got their number, that's for sure. And the Bills now will have themselves a home game on Sunday, 1 o'clock against the Steelers. So that's the coast-to-coast bowl, Rick, between me and Pharrell. So we're not talking to we're not really talking to each other this week. So,
I assume Pharrell. I assume you'll give Pharrell what? You'll give Pharrell 3.
Look, it's 10 right now. It's 10.
It's 10?
So it's 10.
God. I'm
way.
All right. Look, that's why I'm the business guy, not the betting guy.
Right. You're not the bookie.
I'm not the bookie.
He's not the book.
Me. 10, huh? Oh, boy. All right. And the weather in Buffalo, I assume, is going to be typical weather in Buffalo.
Well, it is going to be. See, that's what worries me, is because even though the Bills are in a Buffalo team, I don't believe that their offense is built for Buffalo, right. And they're talking snow with 20 to 30 mile per hour winds on Sunday for this game between the Steelers and the Bills. So that's
Can you imagine? You know, can you imagine what it'll be like for Tua and Tyreek Hill? Although the only thing is Tyreek Hill, it's a home game, so he'll be able to snag him. But you know, Tua's Hawaiian, and they don't play in 8 below. So we'll have to figure it all out. And you see all the stats, right? The Dolphins are what, 0-6. In freezing games, and you know, 0-13 below a certain temperature. So I'm more worried about whether Mostert comes back and whether Jalen Waddle comes back for the game. And you know, they've been saving them for the playoffs. Well, here's the playoffs. So if you got anything left, you better do it.
It's time.
We'll see.
It's time, right, Joe? It's time. Yeah, time to get it done.
It is. I'm with Rick, though. I think Buffalo beats them down. You know that. So we'll see how that plays out. Rick, I do want to say, now that the season's over, right? College football's over. We could turn the page to 2024. From just that win last night, quickly, does Michigan, how much revenue do you think comes into the school based off that victory last night? Just ballpark.
Well, yeah, I'm it depends on a lot. I mean, when you say quickly, I'm going to guess $50 million only because you really don't know what it means. Admissions applications are going to go up 20-30%. But Michigan's already such a tough school to get into. Everybody's applying. You know, maybe you raise tuition, not based on national championship, but as part of the whole thing. And certainly recruiting, the Big Ten's got its own TV deal, so that was going to go up no matter what. And what I put in one of my lists is, you know, Washington is doing real well, even though they lost just to get to the finals. They're still running a deficit in their athletic program, but that's because they have all these other sports to support. And they are going to be in a league that's going to give more TV money. So the rematch is, what, October 8th? They play each other again in October.
October 5th, yeah.
October 5th
in Seattle. That is, and look, for a school like Michigan, I think you said it right, Rick. Like, Michigan, they have plenty of people already applying to go to the University of Michigan. They don't need to make the national championship for that. Joe's right in the fact that yes, there's going to be money that now more money that gets poured in to what's already a machine. I think it matters more for Washington being on that stage. Not that Washington had, you know, is trying to drag people off the street to go to their school. I'm not saying that, but from an exposure standpoint, probably bigger for them. Nowhere near as it's big for like when the Cincinnati's of the world made this thing and they got the exposure. That's massive for a smaller school.
Or a big school that hadn't been you know, at near pay dirt like TCU last year. So, you know, that too.
That was important.
And don't forget my buddy, you know, a bad Sunday afternoon or evening, Mr. Ross, but a huge Monday night. As you know, he was the big benefactor of the Steve Ross School of Business at Michigan and a huge Michigan fan. And, you know, when we left Sunday, it was like, all right, you know, you're going to go and maybe you're one for two. So I'm sure he went
to Houston, right? I'm sure he was there last night.
He went to Houston yesterday morning. And so, you know, really kind of celebrated with everybody. Remember when he was going after Harbaugh for the Dolphins? And everybody was getting a plane number because of all that. That's because there's a Michigan connection. And he's well, probably now thinking, you... I'm glad.
Yeah. Glad now he kept him there. Yeah. Well, now everybody gets to everybody gets to pitch for Harbaugh now, Rick. Whether it's Washington, the Raiders, L.A., everybody's going to pitch for Harbaugh now. Carver and Lisi will come back and do the list with Rick right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM. Yeah! All right, 844-843-6879. Let's go, baby, on a Tuesday night. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi, sports business and legal insider Rick Hara with us, as he is every week here. They're underway in Chicago, the Oilers and the Blackhawks. Joe, we've got the Oilers on the money line here in the first period.
McDavid?
So,
McDavid?
Let's go. McDavid in the mix here. Let's see if we can get ourselves a nice lead, nice fat lead over the Blackhawks in the first period. All right, Rick, let's do it. The 15 to watch this week, the 2024 preview in the 15 to watch this week, and number two is going to be right up Joe's alley, so I'm going to save that for him, and I will go to number one out of the gate, and that is, Rick, we have ourselves an Olympic year, 2024, and we will be in Paris this summer, if you couldn't tell by watching any of the NBC games on either Sunday night or whatever the past couple of weeks. They are in Paris this summer for the Olympics.
Are you watching all of the Olympic athletes that are, you know, coincidentally showing up for the NBC telecasts on every sporting event now? It's amazing. Promotion.
They got Snoop involved, too. Snoop's there, Rick. They got Snoop in the mix.
They got everybody involved. This is going to be the Sustainability Olympics. This is the Olympics where Paris doesn't build a lot, just like L.A. won't, unlike Sochi and Beijing, Tokyo, where they built all this stuff that's now empty. 14 billion euros of economic impact, 4 billion in tourism. It's a lot of money. And what Paris is doing is banking on this as being one of the biggest events in the country since like 1900. They have a big event, and this is going to be one of the biggest sporting events, but also cultural events to kind of bring the country together.
Now, Rick, are they going to have the flag football in the summer or the winter?
Oh, interesting. They're going to do it in a bunch of couple of – oh, you mean in the Olympics? Summer Olympics.
Yeah.
L.A., 2028, Summer Olympics. Yeah. And the beauty of it, by the way, is – that this is going to be for men and women, so the NFL gets to promote it internationally, but it also gets to promote it as a female sport, which is really good for the NFL.
All right, but here's my question. I know this merger went through, the USFL and XFL. When are you going to get me number one on the board of directors or the commissioner? I can run that league and make it successful. So get me the meeting. I'll sit down with everybody and tell them what they have to do. But does this league make it? Carver wants to know. They said, how long is the under and over? 3.5 to 4 weeks?
Under.
Or does it make it to the
under?
End?
I think it makes it in a smaller way for a longer time because people
does
have
it?
Their expectations set. Yes, I do. I really do. And I think because they're not competing against each other, this XFL division and USFL division makes a lot of sense, if only in those 8 cities where it matters. And there is a relationship with the NFL. They're not going to try to kill it. They're not going to go overboard investing in it, but they're not going to try to kill it. So the fact that Fox is in the middle of it, you know, and NBC and all the networks, means that it has a reasonable chance of being mediocre. Let's just put it that way.
Joe's just upset because they chopped a bunch of the teams like Vegas and the New Jersey Generals. They chopped all the teams that Joe liked. So now Joe's anti the Spring League. Joe's not for it anymore.
No, he can't be anti.
He knows me. Carver knows me so well. I want that brand recognition. It's not going to last. It's going to be like the Alliance League. You can't have it in Birmingham. I mean, yes, have it in Birmingham, but give me a little, like a little sizzle. Give me the Rattlers of Orlando. I need something in the bounce house. Give me something, Rick.
Yeah, and they may do that year two, and I'm not defending them, but if anything, they become real conservative fans, real conservative TV. You know, their opening game on March 30th has the two winners of the last two USFL and XFL leagues playing each other. And so this is going to be one of those things where it's an acquired taste, and it may not work, but I think it has a better chance of working than it did pre-merger.
Speaking of mergers, Rick, of course, UFC has a very big year coming up, and that is because they hit a big milestone. UFC 300 coming up in a couple of months, and this right off the back, of course, of them merging with the WWE.
Yeah, and April means a big event. Is, you know, McGregor, Mayweather, all the names may be there. Who knows if they're going to fight or not? But it's a perfect match to celebrate the merger. And where is it going to be? Of course it is. It's in Vegas, like every other mega event with Grand Prix and Super Bowl and all of that kind of stuff. And I think what that means is that this gives the mainstream fight league a chance to, again, survive and thrive and pick up conventional television. You know, Fox has been driving it. And UFC 300 is going to be one of the biggest events, maybe even $300, $400 million of economic impact.
Interesting. Very interesting. So let me ask you this, Rick, in regards to the Pac-12. Like, what is going on in regards to the Washington State and Oregon State situation? Is that going to trickle into next year?
Yeah, because the courts have to decide the issue, and nobody's going to get out ahead of the courts. They've got rights, and they've got the ability to use the logo and use the trademark, and they're going to have a Mountain West schedule, as you know, and they're going to try to resurrect that entire league off of those two brands. Now, the big issue is you got five slots for each of the Power Fives in the playoffs, and you got a lot of at larges. You got one power, non-Power Five that's guaranteed. But where? How does the Pac-12 figure into one of those slots? They certainly can't give it to just those two teams. So they got to figure out what to do, and they got to figure it out fairly quickly. The executive, the outgoing director, Bill Hancock, who's a really good guy and has been on the show, has talked about how they got to iron out the details. That hopefully by Labor Day. By Labor Day, it's a long time from now. So we got a lot of work to do.
Certainly do. They have a lot of work to do over the next couple weeks in Las Vegas. That's because Super Bowl 58 will be there. And I'm sure Vegas knows big events very well, Rick, but I am sure this is going to be the biggest of the big.
Well, it's going to be the highest betted Super Bowl in history. That's clear. It's also going to have economic impact in an engine, nearly $1 billion. We've never had a mega sports event at $1 billion impact, but if you're going to find a place to do it, it's going to be Vegas. And it's going to be big with all the hotels, the new hotels, the old hotels, turning it into a two-week festivity. Then we're going to have the UFC, as we said, 300. Then we're going to have Formula One. We've had the play-in tournament. We're going to have the Final Four coming up. All of those, and the A's, let's not forget the A's, we may have an NBA team. So Vegas is becoming the major event city and has cemented its reputation of doing it.
What's going on with the Copa America 2024, right? Building South America's economy through football? Is that American football or soccer?
No, soccer. But this is one of the biggest, you know, events that happens on a regular basis. The last few events to watch in 2024, I put on that list, are events that are not, you know, known really well here, but we're going to have more of them in the States. I know that's not a big deal, but the cricket T20 tournament is going to be played not only in the West Indies, but played in Lauderdale as well and in Dallas, and then in another couple of U.S. cities. This Copa America, you're going to have a game in Houston and games everywhere else around southern U.S. cities. So you have a lot of these events that are traditionally international events coming here because of the economic impact of the TV and otherwise.
This is on the tech one, Rick, but I wanted to get this in because obviously we never have time to get to everything. And that is the Intuit Dome, which is the Clippers' new arena, which is going to be coming later this year. So they'll be in there for the start of the 24-25 season in the fall, right, Rick?
Yeah, well, assuming things go as scheduled. But I don't know if you've seen it. When you go to SoFi, you can see it taking shape. It looked like a basketball, and it's built right next to SoFi. And Steve Ballmer, who owns it, Microsoft's maven, basically said, I want a place where I don't have to be distracted by that 17-time NBA champion Laker banner I always see. And this becomes a $2 billion building. You have LED lights in every seat, and it's going to be amazing for the fans. And let's see if this arena kind of kicks some butt and gives the Clippers what they need to contend. I can't wait for it to open. This is going to be the next big thing in basketball.
Very good. What about we're expanding the 12-team playoff, Rick. Are you taking bets on who your pick is? Is that what it is, or is there more of an economic impact in regards to the expansion next year?
Well, there's more of an economic impact. They've got to cut their TV deal first, by the way, because they've got a year left on the ESPN one. And then I'm going to watch what happens from the business side, because this is going to generate a whole boatload of money. And remember, the four teams get by, so who will they be? Then you got the home and away for the other eight at the home stadium, which is important. But let's remember, you're not going to decide that until basically 2 weeks before the game. So you got tickets, those issues, and all that. So it's a brand new world, and a lot of it is going to be rotating the national championship like they do with the Super Bowl and get TV money from it. So it's a big deal.
Also a big deal, Rick, in 2024 for the NBA media rights, because those are going to start to come up, and I'm sure we're going to see names like Amazon, Apple, etc., try to get involved with the NBA.
Oh, yeah. And those TV rights are just like the NFL deal. And when everybody's so upset that the Dolphin game can't be on traditional TV, it's on Peacock, let's remember that was the trade-off about getting all the TV money. So we may not be happy about it, but we may be seeing a lot of that in the future.
That is tough, and I know you and Scott talked about it yesterday. That is a tough scene. I just feel you spend so much money all year, Rick, as a fan, that you got to give me the playoff games on over-the-air TV. You really do. All 13 out of them. You shouldn't be doing this to them. I know why they're doing it. They're pigs, as always. But, Rick, honestly, put all the playoff games on over-the-air TV.
Yeah, like we were live.
And then the question is how far do you go? Are the championship games safe? Will the Super Bowl ever be on pay-per-view? I guarantee it won't happen, but you can't guarantee anything. Rick, we'll have to see how it takes out.
No. Rick, tremendous job as always. We will talk to you next week. Rick Carr, our sports business and legal insider. Carver and Lisi, we're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi with you, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM 159. Oh, almost. Edmonton on the doorstep here, Joe. Come on.
What's funny? I'm looking for the Bulls to cover the... Not tonight. I'm looking for the Trailblazers to cover the 12.
Yeah, well, guess what? Not tonight. 12 and a half is a heavy number. They're down 21 in the third quarter.
The whole game. Is it the fourth quarter yet?
No, you got a life. There's 9 minutes left in the third quarter, so you got a lot of time left there. In that one, the Kings are up 1 now on Detroit. They were down in the first half, so they've come back and taken a lead. And the T-Wolves are up 24 on Orlando now, down there. And the Grizzlies are out to a 2016 lead. By the way, Joe, Houston down one at Iowa State, 50-49, a blue-collar game with 4 minutes left in the second half. But Texas ended up beating Cincinnati 74-73, system play no good. And Rutgers up six on Indiana with a .120 to go at the rack. So I know you liked Indiana tonight. I know you did.
Carver, do they have enough in the tank? No. I like that under in that Creighton game.
That's going to start now, too, Joe. The Creighton game is about to start.
Baby.
Which right now, let me get you that number, Joe.
Brick City. Brick City.
You think it's going to be Brick City. 142 and a half is where that is.
Those rims are bad in Chicago. I'm telling you.
Okay. All right. Sounds good, Joe. We'll come back. We got another hour to go. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back after this.